All right. This meeting is being recorded. Sure
thing,
robot.
That's now recorded.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Today's Sunday, November 15th. The time is 10:12 p.m. So we're here today to discuss your experience during COVID-19 pandemic. As of right now, there have been 11.1 million cases and 246,000 deaths. So let's start this off. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, such as, you know, your race, ethnicity, gender?
I am a white male, mid-20s on the younger side, 23 years old. I am a retail associate, works full-time at a local hardware store, still open with full hours during COVID. Yeah, that's the primary position.
All right. Well,
the Twin Cities, them being a place that is currently suffering a resurgence, as are many other places, but has handled lockdown procedures and advisory relatively well.
Well, when did you first learn about COVID-19? Like, what were your thoughts about it?
It started off in a lot of smaller internet circles regarding global news, regarding the outbreak initially in Wuhan, China. And that was early, I believe, late February, early March, very early on, a while before it became anything international. It started off as this outbreak within many circles, especially within conspiracy circles, assuming that this was going to be this world-altering thing, which for once in the blue moon was something that they were actually right about. Of course, there was all sorts of things that were thrown around at first about how it spread, people bringing up things about biomedical and toxin laboratories that were in the city, places that would experiment with pathogens and the like. Of course, there was other things about other medical testing laboratories selling of, you know, test animals and other live specimens or dead specimens to markets on the side. There's a number of things, but what in the end seemed to be the most commonly agreed upon to be the confirmed start was lab animals being sold to wet markets that would be then served publicly, leading to lab animals being given to the general populace. So I heard about it early on and personally did not expect it to be as widespread as it has become, but certainly a lot of things have changed.
All right. Yeah. What issues have concerned you the most about COVID?
Oh boy. Well, of course, personal, mostly familial health, actually. Personal health, especially with somebody in my age range, I am not terribly concerned. My most concern is about would be becoming an asymptomatic carrier that would go on to jeopardize other people's health around me. But first and foremost, of course, is the concern of my family. I have a lot of elderly relatives and other people who have been sick because, of course, this does come around flu season as well. But beyond that, my biggest concern has really been the shutdown of standard operating systems throughout the country as a whole. You know, the supply chains, supply and demand, regular business operations. There are places hemorrhaging money, other places are making lots more. But my biggest concern is for the actual function of the country, because it is a dangerous virus, but at the same time, it doesn't need to jeopardize the state of the country to such an extent.
All right. They're all good points. Let's go actually back to, you said you have a job. So how has COVID-19 affected your ability to work, or how it has affected your life at your job?
I worked full-time prior to COVID's breaking out, and I have not stopped working full-time since then. And I live within walking distance of my workplace, and I've worked there for a long period of time. And because we are deemed an essential business and provide an essential service to the areas nearby, we have not had any reduced hours. And contrary to some other places nearby that have been taking large hits, most notably food service, restaurants, and the like, having to take the most extreme measures, we have had the contrary in, while we have taken measures, we don't have the same health standards as others, and we have had a massive increase to business. It goes without saying that at first people most concerned with stockpiling sanitary and medical equipment, of course, the regular toilet paper and hand sanitizers are the first things to go. Since then being the immediate response, and then after that, now we're feeling the late stage reaction of people who have been self-isolating and been in quarantine for months now, who are, you know, doing everything around the house that they haven't done for the past 15 years. So in all cases, business has increased compared to, and looking directly at numbers compared to last year's numbers at the same time, making immensely more money than was before. Personally, it hasn't really affected me directly, other than by proxy having to cover more hours and fulfill more duties due to other people being at more health risks, the elderly workers and associates at the business taking leaves of absence or otherwise just stopping working entirely, has been the case with some people who get sick mandatorily have to be out for a good period of time before they can even or are even supposed to come back into work. All sorts of stuff like that. But all in all, besides the added rush and the stress of the job itself, the procedure hasn't changed much. It's been the same routine.
All right. Well, you did mention earlier that you aren't like thrilled with the whole country being shut down, though you did say that where you work, business is going really well. How do you think COVID has affected the economy as a whole?
It's no one straightforward answer, because in some cases, most notably in, like I said, the food industry and food service industry, and in the small business and less thoroughly regulated as, say, a franchise or a corporation, they are taking the biggest hits. Huge amount of smaller businesses are being absolutely hit almost to uncoverable rates, but unrecoverable rates, I should say. But at the same time, those key select other industries are, for lack of a better term, monopolizing on the opportunities that are happening. Delivery businesses, most notably like food delivery and grocery delivery, Amazon, to name one another, are making immense amounts of money. And certain businesses that are major suppliers, things like, for instance, Walmart is the most common one that comes to mind, are, while they are changing in their operating procedures, the whole, as most people know, masks, social distancing, limited number of people, limited time of shopping, that sort of stuff, is they are making huge amounts of money. And I think that there is a lot of good coming out of it. There's a lot of ingenuity and adaptability that's coming out of a lot of companies. A lot of places are using business methods that they wouldn't have otherwise out of necessity. Places that would never be doing delivery or non-contact pickup, things like that, are cashing in on that. And it's a smart thing to do. But the main issue comes from those businesses that are small enough to not have good procedures like that. I mean, any large company place, a fast food place, has the means and the funds to get masks to everybody, get new standardized procedures to everybody, everybody's followed the same strict set of rules and keep things functioning healthily and safely while operating fine. A small place with, say, you know, 10 to 15 employees, small businesses that are just, you know, one building places, have almost no method of doing that. I mean, the most they can do is look at the model set by other businesses and follow it. But when it comes to actually proper response, proper methods of switching over, it is extremely difficult for them to adapt in the same way that bigger businesses can. And really small places, you know, individual locations, family owned businesses, small things like that, those are just going by the dozen. They're just shutting down every day. Mm-hmm. It seems, at least, I cannot back that up.
Yeah, no, it is, in a way, is happening. Yeah.
Yeah. You can, it takes just one trip down through the city to see how many places that were previously operating, and not just like small places that didn't do good business, places like bars and restaurants in downtown. Downtown where we are closed indefinitely with no set date as to when they're opening. They're not making any money, period. Other places that, you know, I can't think of, you know, any in particular are just right off the bat, but there are places that are just not able to change their full method of operation to accommodate something like COVID. I mean, certain buildings aren't big enough to accommodate social distancing. Certain staff aren't equipped well enough to be able to operate like that. It's there's a lot of issues that those places have come across, and there's really no recovery from it.
No, understandable. Well, with small businesses and lots of businesses getting shut down, have you known anyone who's lost their job because of COVID?
Personally, within my own personal life, not lost. There are a number of people that began working a lot more at the store were those who actually worked second jobs in the restaurant industry. People who were cooks and waitresses, waiters, servers, bartenders. They had reduced hours at first, and then eventually later on, most of them ended up quitting those jobs. Though I do know one person indirectly, an affiliate of mine who is in the food service industry in the United Kingdom, has been, because of their even more strict lockdown procedures, especially where this individual is, I believe in the North Yorkshire area, they have been a restaurant chef for about a little under a decade now, and since the outbreak they have been completely unable to find any employment that lasts or would provide more than a number of days a week with a very, very inconsistent means of pay. They're just lucky enough that they're eligible for benefits and things like that, but certain people have been completely without work.
All right. Yeah, no, that hopefully your friend in the UK can find something better. Let's move on to your family. You said earlier that you were worried about your family, or like elderly people in your family that could get sick. Yep. Do you live with anyone who is at risk?
The people that I live with aren't immediately at risk, although they are much older and technically much closer to the age range that would be, or that is noted to be the most susceptible and the most at risk for COVID. I'm fully aware that one main thing about COVID is that it is extremely possible, and in certain cases likely, that certain people like myself might become carriers that may not show active signs and symptoms of the virus, but carry it nonetheless. And it also isn't that out of the question, considering that I'm in a line of work that regardless of procedures taken, still puts me at close proximity with other people. So having other people around me that are more at risk is one of my major concerns. None of them have become sick or, you know, have gotten sick. And none of them have shown any symptoms from respiratory issues, coughing and the like, to loss of senses of smell and taste, to fatigue, to fevers. None of that has come up, but I have less direct relatives who also live nearby that we don't necessarily care for. They still live on their own and are fully capable, but they are in their 80s, much, much older, that have other underlying issues. And I haven't, we've contacted and been in touch with them, but I haven't seen them in months because in the position that we're in, we don't want to, and I in particular don't want to run the risk of exposing anybody in that age range to issues like that. It's they're the most at risk, and some of my other a little less connected family members have other underlying issues health issues, and they haven't they've taken the most extreme measures. They haven't had face-to-face contact with almost anyone in as long as I can remember in recent history. They have been all self managed, by their own avail, but they have, you know, staying inside, having people drop stuff off outside and they come out and pick it up later, things like that. They've been taking extreme measures, and it's just the necessity for the people who are at most risk.
Of course. Well, has like day-to-day life in your house been altered? Like what you and your family would do, or just activities you guys would regularly do pre-outbreak?
Personally, no. Like I said, my job has stayed the same and has been consistent throughout the last months. And it's always working in the evening, and that's remained consistent for quite a long time. But my personal relatives, my family that lives with me, they've had their lives the most disrupted. My mother is a very social person and spends a lot of time, you know, at events and locations with other people. And there are many people that she hasn't seen in a long, long time. And it goes without saying that she, like many other people, are kind of stir crazy the way things are. My stepfather is retired, so his day-to-day schedule hasn't been particularly disrupted, but the general psychological toll of much, much less variation in day-to-day lifestyle, not going to places, not doing things, that has been a pretty has had a pretty significant impact on, I'd say, everybody in the family. And it's a natural, it's to be expected, and a natural side effect that would come with keeping the same routine to such a strict degree in any circumstance. But nonetheless, while it hasn't caused many physical changes beyond, you know, the regular remembering instinctively to bring a mask with you if you go anywhere outside, or keeping to 6 feet away when you cross somebody on the street, other than that, it's been mostly just a mental toll that's been taken because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of us are feeling that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on a lighter side, what kind of like leisure activities or just recreational stuff have you been doing? Like, you know, watching shows, playing games, reading a book, anything
like
new?
Most others. Yep. Like most others. There's been a lot more of that. Lots of games, lots of videos, lots of movies, all sorts of stuff like that. Lots of reading. Another big thing is I personally network with a large number of people from a lot of different particular places from all around the world. And one thing on like you said, a positive note I can say is that COVID has actually brought a lot of the people together a lot more, because while we were close beforehand, while we all kept up with each other, many people have been stuck inside. On one hand, have been stuck inside with much less people to talk to in person, lot less ability to socialize in person with others, but also they have a lot more woes in their day-to-day life that you know, as misery loves company, love to share. And a lot of camaraderie and kinship has been formed around our all mutual suffering in this event. So it's in a strange, macabre way, it has brought people together a lot.
Well, that's good. Yeah. All right. I guess then let's move on to your community in this sense, like around your neighborhood or, you know, your job. And you say you live close to your work. So how are the people in the town, customers, have they been handling the outbreak good? Like, are they wearing masks, following the rules? Have you met anyone who doesn't want to or claims they don't need to for some reason?
In our community in particular, the response has been, I would say, especially in average, has been very, very responsible and sound. Yeah, there's a large elderly population in the neighborhood, and they're very, very, I'm not exactly sure what the best term would be, but well-minded and well-mannered, and none of them act in any rash or extreme way, but if any of them were to be, it would be rash and extreme in favor of restrictions and keeping a track on things rather than against. We would be more, we're more likely to have somebody yell at somebody for not wearing a mask than we would have somebody yell at somebody else for making them wear a mask, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We haven't, as far back as I can remember, while I have been at the store, I haven't encountered anybody who has become irate or aggressive or angry and combative about being requested to wear a mask. We haven't even had many customers come in without them. And those that do, to the best of my knowledge, usually indicate as such quickly and ask to borrow one, or are very, very understandable if we ask them to wait outside. I have not personally seen any of the more sensationalized negative responses that we've seen in other places. What else is there really to say? Like I said, the neighborhood is good at just following procedures to keep their safety in mind, because a large demographic within this community is elderly and is at risk. And all things considered, another big factor too is that the neighborhood is somewhat, I would say, close-knit. It's not out of the way or exclusive by any means, but it's distanced enough from the major metropolitan areas that are nearby. Both downtowns are a bit of a ways away, and thus just naturally, and there's only one major street that runs through the neighborhood, and while connected to other major highways and roadways throughout the cities, it's not one of the biggest ones. So naturally, the most common people that come through here are people from this neighborhood and not many others. There's not people who this is their destination. This is where they're going to. It's mostly people traveling to and from and between the downtowns. Somebody who would be in downtown with a huge more of population density and people going and coming, and just the sheer influx of how many more people, it would be a lot harder to manage. And by nature, there would be probably more conflict and more issues with that, but that's just speculation. I don't operate or work downtown, and I'm not downtown very often, but I can only imagine what that many more people would inevitably result in with handling it. So yeah. It's a small and a close-knit place, and because of that, the reaction has all around been pretty responsible. And another thing that I would like to add to it, which is a very good thing and a nice refreshing thing to see from the neighborhood, is that because they are as close-knit as they are and familiar with, say, the local businesses, ours included, there has been concerted efforts by members of the neighborhood and the community to specifically cater to and continue to be patrons of these businesses with the intent of keeping them afloat. A lot of the restaurants in the areas have had to take very serious measures in order to stay open, and the response from the community has been overall very, very positive. They've been giving them lots of business, and they've been expressing their concern and helping them out a lot. It's a good thing to see. Another example of, like I say, the surrounding overall pandemic bringing a lot of people together and strengthening a lot of communities in a lot of ways.
All right. Other than your job, do you participate in any forms of church, school, or social clubs?
Nope, not really.
Right, yeah.
Let me think of any other instances. Like I said, the most of my personal social interaction occurs with people indirectly, online by email or other means like that. I haven't attended school for a number of years. I'm close with people who have, and I feel quite sorry for them in the current state of things for a lot of reasons. But personally, I have not been afflicted by the rules on social distancing, not grouping, not attending large events, things like that. That has not been a huge setback for me.
All right. Yeah. Well, has anyone you know had to do social distancing, or have you yourself had to be isolated? Or not social, sorry, not social distancing, not
self-isolation. Yes. Some of our coworkers have had to take a mandatory leave due to that. I've known a couple of people who have come down with minor sicknesses. Then they, of course, would have to get screened for that. I know people indirectly that are from other countries, one in Colombia, one in Bulgaria, and one in the United Kingdom, who have not contracted. Well, two of them have contracted COVID, although neither are threatened health-wise, seriously at risk. And others have had their entire workplace switched entirely to online. But personally, I have not had to do that. I have not had any symptoms or sickness or anything like that. Although, like I said, I don't put it beyond a possibility that there is still the chance that I may have contracted it on some level or to some extent, and it just is simply asymptomatic.
All right. Well, has COVID affected any of your relationships with, your family, friends, loved ones?
Not in particular, mostly because the people that I stay as closest with, I consider within my familial bubble. There's not a large number of them, and we don't have problems with seeing each other in person close up. Of course, we haven't had any large events. We haven't had any, family holidays, birthday parties, celebrations, and things like that. That we've of course kept to a minimum. But personally, it hasn't changed much beyond our composure and behavior outside of our homes and in public, which is just the usual: being mindful of others, staying the mandatory 6 feet away or else, and masks, all that jazz. But otherwise, it's mostly the people around us that I've seen affected the most by that sort of procedure. I mean, I've read articles and plenty of no shortage of blogs with people talking about how they how to cope with being stuck with your partner or significant other during lockdown, and how to maintain calm relationships with your family throughout lockdown while being trapped in the same house with them. And there are definitely people that it is taking a severe mental toll on. And I, not to say that it doesn't happen within my family and within the people around us, I've definitely noticed an increase in stress, in anxiety, and in general irritability, which is, to be honest, I think that's the symptom of people being stuck with each other for extended periods of time. Unless there are people without any, in the rare instance where there are people with no issues of compatibility with each other at all, which is kind of uncommon considering the human condition, things that would otherwise be minor arguments or disputes can turn into very serious matters, leading to a lot of argumentation. And I've seen that and I've heard of it. And thankfully, I have been spared mostly of it.
Well, yeah, with all that was great, because it kind of answered one of my next questions, which was, how do you think COVID is affecting people's, mental and or physical health? Physical being more or less like probably their body, not the virus.
I'll be totally honest. I think that the overall psychological toll of this disaster is going to be more long-term impactful than the actual virus itself. The virus is undeniably a threat, mostly to people with pre-existing conditions, mostly with, to people who are vulnerable, people with respiratory issues, people with, other health complications that compromise their immune system or things like that. It there's a lot of things that make it dangerous, but I think that what is going to be even more harmful is people, especially in this day and age, subject to so much information, much of it negative. I mean, the way and the prolification of social media, of online news media, of people's worlds at this point almost revolving around reading and hearing about what's happening in the world around them, most of which at this point is negative, combined with the fact that they are cooped up inside their homes, prevented from going out and seeing other people, prevented from going to public places, restricted in activity to a huge degree. The toll that that takes on a individual over a period of time is severe. Expand that to a population of the U.S. 350 million people is going to be it's going to be extremely damaging. It's the psychological impact of that sort of behavior is a part of a lot of people's concerns, and probably the most just counter argument and opposition to the lengths and safety measures that are being taken. Honestly, I see there's a lot of people who are against the amount of measures that are being taken. And there's a number of different reasons. Some people don't think that it's a threat, which I don't think is a rational standpoint personally, but other people are concerned of how damaging it's going to be for people to take such extremes to isolate and keep themselves quarantined. That is, it takes a psychological toll. It is very serious, and people nowadays are extremely vulnerable to it. So I think it's going to be a problem, and is a problem currently.
All right, yeah. So I believe that too. It's going to be myself is currently being mentally affected by this. So
I
agree with you.
A lot of people are, and it doesn't help that. Len, like I said, I'll expand upon the internet aspect of things. Right now, even before the pandemic, 2020 being what it was, there was a lot of international events that were very sensationalized. People really highly regarded 2020 as being a champion of absolutely terrible years. We had everything from wildfires internationally early on to, you know, indications what looked like were going to be military conflicts breaking out again in the Middle East. There has, of course, been the political drama surrounding the presidential election. All of this, most people are viewing through social media, online news media, and things like that, which I strongly believe, in my perspective, are very, very sensationalized, very, very blown up and exacerbated, specifically focusing on the negativity of them. You don't hear a lot of good news nowadays.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good transition to the next set of questions. And shoot. It's what have your primary news sources been through the pandemic? And have any of them changed because said news source failed to provide the information you wanted or ignored information you thought needed to be stated?
My news sources have not changed, but that's going to take some elaboration on that part. I do not get news from a particular source. I don't have favorite publications, favorite websites. I have some sources that I frequent more than others that attempt to be relatively globally objective, but I gather news and have gathered news for the past number of years from a wide variety of international, global news agencies, individual agencies specific to certain countries, from the United Kingdom, Germany and France, Eastern Europe, Russia, Japan, China, and the Indonesian areas. I forgot the general term for that, Oceania, that area. A huge variety of news, not to mention over a dozen different opinionated news agencies within the U.S. And I've seen a lot of change and transitioning in method of reporting, but knowing how news agencies operated ahead of time really didn't, in my perspective of them didn't change much beyond how I thought that they were going to act away, and they did. A lot of agencies from certain with political affinities obviously will report certain things and emphasize certain things, while opposing ones will do less of that. That has been par for the course for the longest time and hasn't changed a bit during the pandemic. News agencies will antagonize each other, and they will focus on information that the other side neglected to do, which goes both ways and will continue to go both ways. All in all, I've found that the overall reports of objective information regarding COVID has been pretty consistent. They have been releasing death numbers. They have been releasing confirmed case numbers. They have been releasing statistics about that stuff very consistently. Although I am speaking, of course, looking specifically at the United States and the United Kingdom. Between those two places, they've been pretty consistent about it. But in a lot of cases, it's to put it bluntly, it's the same shit in a different day. News agencies taking what lens that they want to on current events and kind of going places with them. It's just another one of those. It's the big thing that is being used as the driving force in a lot of opinionated news media, because there's a lot of places out there that are, and if I would name a few, I would say my most primary reliable source on just reporting information would be the Thomson Reuters news agency. They're doing a fantastic job at objectively reporting cases and deaths as they occur. But other ones more common in the United States, especially, are doing the usual that they've been doing and antagonizing others and other pieces of information. And turning the emergency that is affecting everybody into another power struggle of one side versus the other, which, of course, it really shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you mention power struggles, or not power struggles, what you just said, I'm blanking for a second. The media turning people against each other, all that jazz. Our next question is government. Do you think, let's start small. How do you think local leaders from where you're from are handling the pandemic?
I think local leaders are doing the best they can. I think they're really scared, though. And if I was in their place, I would be too. People like the governor of the place that we are in, the governor is a pretty serious position in the grand scheme of things, but depending on current events, a lot of times they aren't that active. The governor you will hear news of acts being passed, of hearings being held, of this and that. But a lot of times, unless you are specifically going out of your way to pay attention to local, like state and city politics, it's usually not that big of a thing. But come an event like this, and even a person in who is like the mayor of a, I won't say a small town because we are a relatively sizable city, but the mayor of a town that otherwise wouldn't have, not to say that they don't have a responsibility, but having this much on them is nothing that anyone short of longstanding career politicians and political figures would have any preparation for leading people in this certain case. They are just as vulnerable as the rest of people. And at least for the first couple months, it seemed like people that were running around with their heads chopped off, doing whatever they could to mitigate damage as quickly as possible. I feel sorry for a lot of them, honestly, because they don't know what the hell they're doing. And I can't expect them to, because the last time something of this severity happened was probably before any of them were born.
All right. Yeah. So we did local. Do you think the state government's doing any better? Probably about the same.
About the same. When it gets taken up to a state level, it's it really is hard to say, because speaking from the perspective of somebody living in the state's major metropolitan area, a lot of the activity and the actions that we see attempted to be taken by the state apply to us, because we are where the most people are. A lot of the times when the state is passing regulations on a statewide basis, we see it the most immediately, because being in the city, that is the place where they have their most concerted efforts. But as you go outside of the city, the further away from the major metropolitan areas where population is less dense, city centers have a lot less people, guaranteed have a stark difference to how things operate. And a lot of the things that the state is attempting to enforce that we are seeing clearly and presently in the big cities is sometimes nowhere to be seen. There are places that I know of up north in our state where people are still not always required to wear masks when entering buildings, things like that. There are places that still operate that, although less common now after the second surge. it's really hard to keep that consistent throughout. And it doesn't help that a lot of the states are functioning separate from each other. Once again, politics being as it is with the difference in leadership, there are places where they weren't making any moves to reduce hours, to enforce masks stuff, to basically put in place and enforce regulations. I remember being months into our, albeit early stages of quarantine and safety procedures, and speaking with people, for instance, an example in Arizona, I believe, who actually were surprised when I told them that places were closing early and regulations were being put in place. And that me informing them of that was the first time that they actually went and checked themselves to see if anything had been changed in their own state government, which they found out that it had in fact been discussed and talked about, but nothing had been put in place. So they really, while certain places are doing their best, they're not very cooperative with each other. At least I shouldn't say cooperative. I should say, on the same page, I guess. Places are doing this, are taking action and taking response very inconsistently with each other. And it could be managed a lot better.
Do you think you would do anything different, I guess, if you were in that position?
No, actually, personally, I don't think I would, because while there's a lot of things that I can criticize, the ones that are making these decisions right now, I think that I feel sorry for anybody put in a position of power where they are. It is their responsibility, on account of the safety of their own people, to enforce rules and prevent them from doing certain things. The government officials right now are in a position where they have to clamp down on activity and they have to enforce things, which in any set of population is going to have its repercussions. And I feel sorry for all those that have to make that decision. But at the same time, that's what comes of being in a position of power over others, is that you're going to have to make decisions for them. And a lot of times those people won't like those decisions.
Yeah. Well, then moving up to the biggest part of the government, how do you think former President Donald Trump handled the pandemic?
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that he handled it a lot better than he could have, all things considered. Because while, of course, there is a lot of talk in the news, especially about how allegedly he knew or was informed about the danger of it ahead of time, and he knew it was going to be worse than he knew that it was going to be worse than he said it was, that kind of stuff. The fact of the matter is right now is that Trump is, at least in popular mainstream view, the biggest scapegoat at the moment as a public figure. There is no, people aren't shying away from criticizing Donald Trump from anything under the sun. And that hasn't changed since 2016. And the fact of the matter is that they were criticizing him for inaction when things started to heat up in regards to relations with China. And he was criticized for inactivity later on. He was criticized for taking too hard of a stance on certain things and not taking hard enough of a stance on others. And the fact of the matter is that he would have been and will be criticized no matter what he does. If he takes too hard of a stance on this pandemic, he will be called authoritarian. He will be called a person who is restricting people of their rights. Any number of things that you could say, but if he does the opposite of that, he will be called irresponsible and endangering the health and safety of people. The fact of the matter is that a position like the president is on a level like myself, just conceptually, is unfathomably high on the responsibility list. And any person who maintains composure, whatever that may be, maintains composure throughout something like a pandemic like Trump did, while many people, I'm sure, are quick to say how many things and what they would do better, he stuck through it and actually had his response, and he took action. You know, no matter what action he would have taken, it would have resulted in people being upset at him because That is the nature of the climate right now. So I will not rip on him as much as some others, because I know for a fact that no matter what activity would be taken, it would be viewed as a negative right now. Honestly, there is no real good way, a singular good way to handle an incident like this, because you are either, no matter what, you are either skirting between taking too much action and not taking enough action, where you're on the fine line between between allowing people to die or restricting their rights and preventing them from expressing their fundamental human and American rights.
All right. Yeah. Well, we are close to being done. I got a few more questions for you, but I guess continue with the presidency. Do you think current President Joe Biden will be most likely facing the same scrutiny, or do you think he'll be able to handle it better?
I think that Joe Biden is going to take a lot of action. It is an obvious method an obviously clear way of getting a huge amount of support is going to be taking a firm stance, I'm not sure firm in which direction, but a firm stance on the pandemic, changing things up. And I'm sure he's going to garner a lot of support, a large amount of that is going to coming from people who are more or less opposing to whatever Trump stood for and want a change of that. The biggest threat that I see from this is hopefully Biden himself doesn't focus too much on undoing the previous presidency. He doesn't focus on being a reactionary to the last person. But the way things are, there are so many people that are more anti-Trump than they are actually standing for specific values of Joe Biden. And I don't know where it's going to go, because I think as time goes on and as Biden takes presidency and his politics, his party's system, and his methods become clear through the actions that he takes, I think people are slowly going to realize that they voted against somebody, not for somebody. And it's I already see a lot of division amongst both political parties currently, and I think that that's only going to be further exacerbated further on down the line.
Yeah, those are good points. You know, that's really true when you say voted against somebody. Of course, because yeah. I mean, most of the last months have been calling the lesser of the two evils, and really in a state of global emergency with a virus that is not something that helps the mental state.
Yeah, it's really disappointing to see too, because there is a huge amount of progress that could be made by these parties, you know, for once in a blue moon, putting aside political differences in order to, you know, have a case of all of these sides working together for the good of the American people, surpassing and ascending above these strict political lines of the right versus left dichotomy. But as we've seen, the pandemic has almost become second rate to the election cycle, and everything was focusing on just not anything but Trump. And I think that while I don't disagree with the people that hold that position, and I can fully understand why, I think that it's an unhealthy mentality when there are bigger problems at hand. There is bigger things, and people stuck in the left-right dichotomy of politics who can't get over there being people who disagree with them is really one of the biggest threats to things the way that things are now. People are really angry, and when people are angry, they get stupid, and they're making a lot of stupid decisions.
All right. Well, wrapping up, but last little bit here is, how do you think the future will be now? Moving forward, say we get a vaccine, say there's a cure. After the world has experienced this, all of it with the masks, the self-isolation, social distancing, grand fear almost around every corner, what do you think the rest of the world is going to be like after this?
Well, I have a outcome that I can hope to see and an outcome that I worry that we'll see. And what I hope to see is after the initial shock of this taking place, that the standard bare minimum procedures to operate become the mainstream, when the masks and the standing apart from people become regularities, after that, other things can slowly acclimate back. Businesses can accommodate that. Measures can be taken. For instance, having spent some time in Japan, and this was a number of months, actually, immediately prior to the outbreak occurring in the first place, I saw a custom that was very much conducting yourself safely and healthily in public. People hardly bunched up too close to each other, except when in certain trains. Masks were commonplace, and everything functioned perfectly fine. None of these things were hindrances. None of these things prevented businesses from running, and from the whole city and the country from running. And if that could become standardized elsewhere, then, you know, it is not out of the question that things would become at least a semblance of going back to normal. But the fear that I have is that it is not going to be a gradual process. It's not going to be something that gets eased into. There's going to be a harsh response. And I've seen it in other places already. Police enforcement of quarantine and isolation, people being asked by the police to go inside and not leave their houses, has been seen in the UK and in European countries to some extent, very minor extent here. But once that behavior, and if that behavior becomes, or that I should say, that methodology becomes more common, where we get closer to the fear of the people who are opposed to this measure, these measures being taken, which is overarching government control and restrictions on people, that pandemic or not, if you have armed people in the streets keeping people from going out and telling people to stay in and arresting people for taking certain actions, arresting people for being in groups, that is immediately going to sow discord in any population. And I have this feeling that there's going to be a harder stance taken before there's a softer stance taken, and that is going to lead to disturbances. It's going to lead to more unrest, more civil unhappiness in general. And I think that we're going to see that personally before we see just a overall positive increase. And we've seen it in other places. Footage out of other countries, China included, has been, in some cases, terrifying, seeing the militarized response to this. And I will make a comment saying that now, as it stands, officially, China's infection count has drastically lowered to almost none, increasing daily in terms of contracted cases. And I don't actually know off the top of my head when the last time they had a death was, when they had a death officially related to COVID. And that raises more questions than it answers, because I can only imagine the level of enforcement that would be required to steeply decrease something that seriously. You would have to have almost total military or police control of cities to cause something to stop something from spreading that extremely. And that's what I fear of, hopefully does not come here. In America, of course, there's less of an affinity for that sort of mentality, and will obviously cause pushback as many things do. But America has been volatile, as we've seen in past months and in past years. It is not going to shy away from that. And I don't think that it's out of the question that will be the reaction to more extreme steps further down the way.
All right. Well, I feel like this interview went pretty well. We got a lot of good information for the archive. Is there anything else you'd like to say at all?
I think that's I think that can just about cover it. That is my perspective on the way things have been happening. Of course, there are many different people who view it from many different ways, but overall, that is my my subjective take on this whole thing.
All right. Well,
This has been Cristiano Favazza from University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Our special guest here has chosen to remain anonymous, so their name will not be given. Thank you very much for providing your input to the archive, the Chippewa Valley, and the Journal of Plaguier. We'll be very happy to have this information.
Happily to oblige you.
All right.